Last week, I introduced the theme of the second part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, which is this inside-outside dichotomy. You know, so often how we act and the things we do are so different than how we are feeling internally. And this is often where we get tripped up, and we end up concentrating on the external issues, but the problem being the law, the rules, the regulations that we so often work hard to keep and live by, do not address the real issue, which is our internal heart condition. Jesus now focuses his attention on the issues behind the law. He deals with the condition of our heart. You know, we can work hard to clean up the external image, to keep all the laws to impress others as to what they see. But Jesus goes beyond that and to the root of the problem and deals with the internal condition of our heart. And today we're going to look at how Jesus transitioned from dealing with the character of a Christian, what we are to be, the Beatitudes, to the conduct of a Christian, what we are to do. So having finished the Beatitudes, Jesus now gives his disciples a very vivid illustration. I'm going to read starting from Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and to be trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world." It's not "you will be," but "you are." This is actually the role that is given to each and every Christian that is part of the Church of Jesus Christ. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. So when Jesus said that to his disciples, I wonder what was going through their mind. I wonder what they were thinking. You know, it's interesting that Jesus used salt to speak of the influence of the Christian's life. Why did he use salt? Why not pepper, or sugar, or honey, or meat? Why salt? You know, in the context of Jesus' day, salt was mainly used as a preservative. Without refrigeration like we have today, salt was largely used and needed to preserve meat. So, to preserve your catch of fish, unless you sold them immediately at the market, or you were just going to cook them all right away, you would have to salt them to keep them from spoiling. So if Christians are the salt of the earth, and salt is a preservative, that means Christians are to be God's agents in preserving the world from decay. Just think how rotten this world would be without the spirit-filled life of Christians influencing it. You know, if you go to a place where there are few or no Christians, those places very often are oppressive and often rotten places to be and to live. Salt preserves. But keep in mind, salt cannot preserve unless it mingles and penetrates into the object that needs preserving. And the ultimate reality is, unless Jesus permeates right through your heart, you will end up decaying. If you just keep religion as an external and you keep the rules on the outside, but you don't allow it to come in and touch your heart and your life, it does you very little good. You see, the external religion is not the answer. It has to get in to our heart. And until Jesus penetrates into your heart and life and into our society and penetrates into the world, a lot of decaying and rotting is going to happen. And Jesus said to his disciples, you are the penetrating, preserving salt of the earth. So, you know, a question that every Christian must consider is the earth being preserved by my presence? Am I having an impact? What on earth would be spoiled and rotting if I was not there? Now, salt has other qualities as well. As we are very familiar with, salt enhances the flavor of food. You add a little salt, and what a difference it makes to the taste of your food. Salt brings out the best in the food. And those who know and love Jesus Christ should be the same, bringing out the best in people and in life. You know, just as a good coach brings out the best of each player on the team, the Christian should be bringing out the best there is in life. So another question to ask is, am I making others better? Are you sharing your life to better the life of someone else? That their life might be enhanced by finding God or knowing God in a deeper and fuller way and discovering all that God has for them and developing that zest and that zeal for life. You know, it's only with the life of Christ living in a person that anything like that can be accomplished. Salt is also an antiseptic. You know, you get a wound, and if salt gets into it, wow, you know it in a hurry. It hurts. But it's purifying. It's cleansing. Salt will draw out the poison, the bad, so healing can take place. In Jesus' day, because there was not the sanitation that we have today, and there were open toilet areas, salt would be thrown on the human waste piles as a purifying agent to decontaminate it. As Christians, are we purifying agents helping to decontaminate the world? You know, another use for salt is it melts and it softens. When we used to live in Chicago many years ago, the water there was awful. It was what was called hard. Soap would not even lather up in it. It smelt like rotten eggs. And we had a water softener that you had to put salt into to help soften the water and make it more pleasant to use. We also used salt to melt ice in the winter. When the walks and the driveways were icy, we used salt on the walkways to melt the ice. And it worked even on the coldest of days. So, you know, another challenge for us is, do our words harden or soften people's attitudes? Do our words cut or heal? Are our words and actions used to melt cold and hard hearts and attitudes? Paul, in writing to the Colossians, in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 6, says, let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Our hearts and lives are to be full of Jesus, so that our conversations will be seasoned with him. You know, salt also creates thirst. As Christians, our life should be creating a thirst in the lives of others for the living truth of Jesus Christ. If we are God's people, if we as God's people are not salt, the world will never thirst for the water of life of Jesus. A Christian's life should be creating a thirst for the living water that is found only in Jesus Christ. You know, salt is vital to life. We cannot live without it. I'm told that our bodies have about 8 ounces of salt in them. You know, salt regulates the water in our cells. It aids muscle contraction, nerve impulses, and even heartbeats. Without salt, we would go into convulsions and die. Just think of it. You are the salt of the earth, Jesus said. Christians are vital in this world. So as a Christian, are you a preserving agent? You are. You are to bring salt out, bring out the best as salt, to bring out the best in people. You are a healing and purifying agent. You know, you can be used to soften the hardest of situations and to help to create a thirst in people. You are vital in this world. So let me ask, as a Christian in the world today, is the world a better place because of you? The purpose of the gospel is that by the way we behave, as to how you treat your spouse, and as to how you treat your kids and grandkids, and the way you talk to your neighbors, and the way you spend your money, and the way you drive your car down the road, you are to be displaying something of the character of Jesus Christ, of his goodness and his righteousness. You know, salt is absolutely of no benefit if it is kept in the container or in the salt shaker. You can hold up a salt container and say, look at this. We are the salt of the earth. We can preach to the world, you need salt, or you'll decay, you will rot if you don't have salt. But for the salt to be of any good, it must get out of the container and mixed into its surroundings. Christians are God's agents of salt in this world. And like salt, though we may have a small presence in this world, we are able to make a tremendous impact and difference by the way we live and act. You are the salt of the earth. That is the challenge. But you know, there's also a caution here as well. If the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? That's an interesting statement, for salt is a stable compound. Salt is always salt. How can salt lose its saltiness? Well, certainly salt can become so diluted or so contaminated by other things, it no longer has the same effect. You know, in our day of refined salt, things are a little different now than in Jesus' time. In Jesus' time, you could get what looked like salt, but it had so many impurities in it, it did not behave like salt. Basically, it was worthless. And it could only be used to be thrown out along the path and you walk on it. It was useless for anything else. Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. But if you lose your saltiness, you know what? You are of no use. So how do you lose your saltiness? Well, basically, you become so diluted that the inside and the outside of your life is totally inconsistent. The way you act on the outside is completely different than how you're thinking on the inside. And you know, when that happens, the world looks at you and says, you're a hypocrite. You know what they'll do? They'll trample all over you, and they'll have little respect for you, and you'll have absolutely no credibility. Salt's value is in its use, which means we have to get out of our salt containers, which are the buildings and the houses which we congregate in and live in. If we as Christians are going to be the seasoning that brings benefit into the world, and if we are not actively living our life for God with others, the salt is going to go to waste. Salt that stays in the container will never do anyone any good. And as Christians, we need to get out of our containers and get into the world. That's our ministry, being out there. We are the salt. Now, Jesus said in this passage in verse 14, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, I'm going to stop right there. You are the light of the world. And Jesus said, you know, you can hide your light and put it under a bowl. You can stick it under a bucket, and it won't help anybody. We are to let our light shine individually and collectively together. And you know, the darker it becomes, the brighter the light will stand out. And to pick up in verse 16 again, Jesus said, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. It isn't that they may see your good deeds and praise you. When you allow Jesus to transform your life, your character, who you are, it will impact the things you do. And it will be like salt and light to those around. And they will praise your Father in heaven. It's not so that people will think that you are so wonderful, but that they will see God and in and through you and say, wow, isn't God amazing? You won't see it yourself. You'll see your shortcomings and failings. But as you are honest and real and not trying to impress others, God will be at work through your life as salt and light. You know, we're not to build castles and put moats around them and pull up the drawbridge. And then with our megaphones, stand inside of our castles behind our walls and shout across the moat about what's wrong with everybody else out there. If it's wrong out there, it's probably because we are not being the salt and the light we are intended to be. So is your light under a bucket? Are you hiding it? Or has your life become so contaminated and diluted, there is no longer any influence of salt? You know, if that is true in your life, you need to then go back to the Beatitudes, the beginning of Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 to 12, and you work your way through them once again, step by step, and allow God to transform your inner heart and character so you will become all that God has created you to be, starting from the inside and then working out to all he intends you to be for his glory. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the Lord Jesus and for his words right here and his illustration of salt. And Lord, thank you that there's so many things that we can draw from this. We are to be a preservative in the world today. Not that we do it, but you're at work through us in helping to preserve this decaying world, to bring out the best in people, to be a healing and purifying agent, to be used to help melt the hardest of hearts and soften them. And Lord, that people might see you in us and have a thirst to know more and to know you. Lord, I pray that our lives will be bright lights for your glory. For I pray in Jesus' name, amen.